Reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through to 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
If any of you have ever had to clear out a relative's house after they've died, you find, however modest their lifestyle, in the modern age, people have a tendency to accumulate a lot of stuff. Most of you know I cleared out my parents' house a couple of years ago, and they'd lived there for 50 years. And I was constantly surprised what I found lurking in the dark corners as I sorted out things. My mum's wedding dress, a 2 metre by 1 metre mirror hidden in the back of the eaves under the house, my cot, the legacy of a long life in things. Some were in good condition, yet others have become tarnished by age, treasured enough to keep, yet through neglect they'd not been preserved. Jesus' words in our reading say, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal. The possessions that we treasure in our lives will not likely be preserved as the treasures that were found by Howard Carter in the tomb of Tutankhamun or those excavated in Sutton Hoo in Suffolk. It's more likely that the things we treasure as time passes will get dusty and faded and be ignored by those who follow us. Yet will this knowledge forswear us from seeking to accumulate more possessions in the future? Unlikely. Jesus' words in our reading this morning spoke to the security and value that people found in riches in the first century. But they perhaps even speak more clearly to us in the 21st century about the security and value that we find in things today. With materialism and its quest to accumulate riches and possessions as a way of life. So let's have a closer look at what Jesus is saying here in our reading from the Sermon on the Mount, and where Jesus uses three illustrations to teach his disciples how they're to disentangle their lives from the possessiveness of possessions. The first illustration focuses on the impermanence of earthly possessions compared to the treasure that we can find in God's kingdom. In the first century Jewish world, there was very little banking, and there was little trust in the banking institutions that there were in existence. So any personal wealth or treasure would have been kept at home or in some secure, safe place. Treasure would have likely been buried in a field, in sort of pots like this, or something bigger than this. However, treasure kept in these places was liable to physical deterioration or even theft. Jesus says that for one of his disciples, in place of such fleeting and temporary acquisitions, there is instead the possibility of a much more desirable alternative.
treasure in heaven. Now, Jesus doesn't spell out the nature of these treasures in heaven here, but as Matthew's gospel progresses, we come to see that this treasure is an inheritance of eternal life, entering into the Master's joy, inheriting the kingdom. Paul, in his letters, though, would consider treasure of heaven being that which lasts, that which endures, such as love, which is great hymn to love in the first letter to the Corinthians extols. The language of storing up for yourself treasures seems to hint at earning eternal life, but this would push against Jesus' overarching message of grace and the unfair generosity of God as being the way of his kingdom. So we can discount this as what Jesus is saying. Rather, Jesus is pointing to the treasure that all disciples will receive as the result of a life of faithful discipleship. Jesus is saying here that it's a matter of priorities. Heavenly ones, not earthly ones. Our treasure in life is what we value and what we spend our time and energy upon. What is the heart? What is the center? What is the passion of our lives? What you value as treasure will reveal the orientation of your heart. The second illustration focuses on the eyes. The eye is the lamp of the body. And this wasn't an everyday saying in Jesus' world, and it's perhaps an original one by Jesus. And it's a little difficult to understand in some ways because its meaning is only revealed through wordplay in the original language, where the words for healthy and unhealthy could also mean generous and stingy. What Jesus is likely saying is that the light going out of the body through the eyes represents the character and actions of a person. They reflect the heart of the person that's going out from them. If your heart is healthy and orientated towards the things of God's kingdom, then your way of living will be healthy and orientated towards the things of God's kingdom. So generosity will be evidenced. If your heart is unhealthy and not orientated towards the things of God's kingdom, your way of living will be unhealthy and disorientated towards the things of God's kingdom. So stinginess will be evidenced. The third illustration takes us to the realm of slavery. A slave is someone who was wholly owned by another person or a family. They're completely at the whim of that person for their whole existence. They are mastered. But a disciple of Jesus is to only have one master in their life, God. God is to be the one who has first call on the orientation and inclination of our hearts and minds as followers of Jesus. Jesus uses the word mammon in some translations of our Bible as the personification of the way that riches and possessions can come and captivate the human heart and mind and take our devotion away from God. Jesus says here that it's either God or mammon that can be the master of your life, and his disciples need to make a choice. Three illustrations that essentially make the same point, that the way of Jesus is a way that doesn't focus upon that which is earthly, but instead focuses on the values of God's kingdom. Jesus' words can sound very utopian, a picture of some sort of ideal society or an economic theory, but it's really about worship and discipleship. Who do you worship? And who do you follow in your life? And Jesus' words were not pie-in-the-sky dreaming that could never be put into practice. Jesus' words on the temporary nature of earthly treasures permeated into the early church. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who in need. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. The early church held on to the things of this world lightly. Instead, they chose to grasp more firmly onto the hand of Jesus, trusting in him for all they needed. And James, one of the most influential leaders in the early church, writes this in his letter. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that's coming on you. Your wealth has rotted and the moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You've hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay to workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourself in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was opposing you. They had a very different attitude to money and possessions. But Jesus wasn't completely anti-money and riches. Jesus and the early church were anti-unfairness in respect to money and riches. And there was a lot of unfairness in respect to money and riches, and there still is a lot of unfairness in respect to money and riches today. And Jesus was also ultimately concerned about where we put our ultimate trust in life, in money or in God. And it wasn't as if Jesus' message of good news didn't resonate with the rich. The picture we have of Joseph of Arimathea in the Gospels is that he is obviously a rich and influential person. But he was also a disciple of Jesus. And despite his wealth, you can see that the true treasure of his life was Jesus. But then you have the parallel stories of the rich young ruler in the Gospels, which center on his obsession with having much and not being willing to let go of it in order to follow Jesus. But then in the story of Zacchaeus, you have the wonder of someone who comes to see that the grip that money and possessions have on their life is released through a transformative encounter with Jesus. And he, like many of the disciples, gives up economic security to make someone else the master of their life. This is a Bible passage that is about money and possessions. But it is fundamentally a Bible passage that challenges us with the question, who do you worship and who do you follow as a disciple of Jesus? As good Christians today, we would easily say Jesus, God, and not money and possessions. But then perhaps we're not looking all that closely at our lives. If someone looked at our lives, what would they say was the number one priority in them? Family? Money, nice house, cars, TV, clothes, handbags, books, TV, garden. Now, I'm not standing here in judgment over anyone because I know the answer in my life is not necessarily all it should be. But this is the kind of question that this passage of Scripture is asking of us. And this is why it's important to remember we call it God's Word. And realize this means that God will speak to us to challenge and reprove us through the words of Scripture. Do we worship and disciple our lives to money and possessions simply by living in this materialistic age? Where does our money go after the essentials of life are taken care of? Do we hide it under the mattress for a rainy day or put it in the equivalent in the banking system? Or do we spend, spend, spend as if there's no tomorrow? Are we generous to those in need? Generous in hospitality, generous in love? Do we live like we know what the real treasure is that we have in our lives as Jesus' disciples? There is a real treasure that we can discover in our lives. And that's the treasure that was described in that parable we thought about earlier in our service. It's a treasure that is worth giving up everything to possess. A treasure that the rich young ruler was not willing to pay the cost in order to possess. Yet it was a treasure that captured the life of the tax collector Zacchaeus in a moment. Is the treasure of your new life in Christ the greatest treasure in your life, or only one treasure among many? Is it a treasure that you are willing to give up everything for? In another parable of Jesus, we have these words. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. He went away and sold everything he had in order to possess the kingdom of heaven. Does being in the kingdom of God mean that much to you? That you would be willing to sell everything you had? God's unlikely to call you to do this, but he might. The claim that Christ wishes to have on your lives is absolute and supreme. He wants to be our first, our last, our everything, and then some more. We live, though, in a world where we will need to engage with money and possessions. We can't get away from that. We need to eat. We need somewhere to sleep. We need clothes to wear. We will need jobs to earn this money, or benefits or pension pots to ensure income when we're not working. Money and possessions are going to be part of our lives. The challenge of Jesus in this passage is not that money and possessions should not be part of our lives, but that money and possession should not become a rival God in our lives. We should not find our self-worth through the money that we earn, the things that we possess, our standard of living, our nice house, and the like. We should not give in to the easy temptation that there is just to have a little bit more. J.D. Rockefeller was one of the richest people who's ever lived. Yet when asked how much money it would take to make him happy, Rockefeller responded, "Just a little bit more." We do not need to give in to the temptation to obtain just a little bit more, be it an item of bling, a shiny trinket, or a glamorous experience. We're surrounded by a culture that says all of these things are the norm. But Jesus says they can't be if you want to be my disciples. They don't have to be if you want to choose the treasure that I offer you instead. The call of Jesus is to focus on him and not let our worship and discipleship become captivated by the rival god of money and possessions. The call of Jesus is to hold on to all our stuff lightly and to hold on to him more firmly. The claim Christ desires of our lives is absolute and supreme. And our commitment to that may wax and wane as we journey with him, but he calls us back time and time again to show us that he is the one true treasure of our lives. The treasure of our lives, which will be seen in what we prioritize as being first importance. The treasure of our lives, which will be seen in what defines our character and our actions. The treasure of our lives, which will determine who is the master of our lives. The treasure that is Jesus,
or something else. The choice is ours. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Let us pray. Lord God, it is so easy for us to give our worship in small or large ways to other things, to want and desire things in our lives so much. Things that give us security, feelings of wholeness, be it money, possessions, anything other than you. Lord, forgive us when we do this. Come and rekindle within us a passion to make you the greatest treasure of our lives. Come and help us value you above all things, so that you shape our character and our actions, so that you become that which is of first importance. May you be our treasure, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.